Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Thinking big thoughts, so you don't have to.
Once again,
here's John Williams.
Mwah. Hi, we're here till 3. Remember now, the Minching Rascals are podcasts that I host with friends of yours like Steve Bertrand and Eric Zorn from the Tribune. Was judged this year to be the best podcast in the state of Illinois by the Illinois Broadcasters Association. They don't throw that around lightly. Actually, they might. I'm really not real familiar with the process. We turned in some tapes. They say this was really swell. We have the best podcast in the state of Illinois. Last year, the Headliners Club in the city of Chicago judged the Mincing Rascals to be best. Do you listen to podcasts? All the cool kids are doing it. All you got to do is say to your smart speaker, play the Mincing Rascals podcast on TuneIn, and there it will be. You can also look it up on Spotify if you go to that site. And, of course, it's at WGNradio.com as well as on my Facebook page. We post that on Thursdays. Enough about me. Kim, so what was this story in Wisconsin about lemonade stands?
Okay, so today the state Senate passed a bill saying that kids in Wisconsin can legally operate lemonade stands under this new bill, but there's a few things. There are a few rules. No raw meat, no egg salad. And you have to...
Well, that's going to cut into a lot of lemonade stands, because how many times have you come up to a kid
always
on the
go up
corner
and want an egg salad sandwich, don't you?
Hey,
especially
kid,
if it's on whole wheat.
Hey, kid with lemonade, you don't happen to have any raw meat, too, do you?
No sushi. Hold the sushi, kid.
Sushi and lemonade. You know, the one I think the kids would be smart, and I've thought about this on those rare instances anymore where I see children enterprising enough to actually do that. But I think if they did vodka shots with the lemonade, a lot of cars would stop.
Probably, but you have to be under 18 to operate the lemonade stand, so that kind of throws a wrench into it.
Whatever. Okay, so then, and I'll bet that the reason that this legislation was even necessary is technically the kids are operating a business without a license. And
right.
Some do-gooder parent or cop said, hey, kids, we got to shut you down. I think I've seen those stories before.
Yeah, I mean, and they put a cap on it. So,
$2,000
a year.
Who is that hurting? I mean, if, say the kid makes $4,000.
Right.
What
difference does it make? That's an entrepreneur.
I don't understand that one little bit.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the cap.
Okay, so the rules are no egg salad sandwiches, no raw meat. What else can they not sell?
That's all I saw. And that was only basically because of public health concerns.
Right. Right.
But it still has to be approved in the state assembly. Senate approved it. It's still got to go to their house.
Lemonade, e-cigs here.
That's right.
Of course, in Illinois, they'll be selling cannabis at these places, edible cannabis, too. A little street corner
sprinkled
operation
on your egg salad.
Okay, well, I'm glad to hear that. By the way, thank you, Kim Gordon.
Sure.
Speaking of things that you can and cannot sell, so in Chicago, January 1st now, remember, we're going to be able to buy legal marijuana. You can get the edibles. So the city is having 3 hearings at community college campuses. Why would they think of that this week, starting tonight and then tomorrow and Wednesday, Malcolm X College, et cetera? So around the city, they're having these hearings, and they're inviting business owners, stakeholders, they call them, as well as you and me, people in the community, and come to the meeting and stand in line, and somebody will be there to listen to you, and you'll say what you think about how we should sell legal pot. I appreciate that. I thought a lot of these issues had already been resolved. Think about this. I'm interested in what you think some of the rules should be about that. My number is 312-981-7200, for instance. Should you be able to have a pot shop near a school? No. Okay, how far away? 100 yards? Quarter mile? They have these no speeding zones in Chicago where... No, it's not speeding. I think it is cell phone. Steve, do you know? I know you're just cozying into the news desk there, but what is the rule in Chicago about distance from schools? I think you can't be, is it operating a cell phone, or is it that the speed limit automatically drops?
I don't think there's a, what do you mean a cell phone?
You can't be operating a cell phone anyway in the city. Yeah.
Right.
And I guess you can, even in a school zone.
Be hands-free?
Be hands-free.
I think so, John. I'm not 100% positive on that, but I think that's the case.
Here's what I remember. There's some rule like that, and it's something that when you're near a school, you can't do it. The point is that the distance from the school pretty much eats up the entire city. It's like, you know, 1,000 yards. Well, after 1,000 yards, pretty soon you're in the next school. There's another school nearby, junior high, high school, grade
right.
school.
So, I know what you're talking about. I can't think of it.
You can't do it. I'm like, well, that's not a very practical rule. I'm wondering what the distance should be from a school that you will be able to sell pot. What would the store hours be? Should we allow them to be 24-hour operations? Or
I mean,
just...
'cause most of the pot now is sold in the schools.
I'm thinking that a midnight pot shop, however attractive to some of us, might be the sort of thing that you would look askance at. I think askance is a word. Could we have a pot shop close to a park, a public park? I'm curious what you think about store hours or days. 7 days a week? 24 hours a day?
You know what I think would be really interesting is to go into everyone's head and see what they picture as the typical pot shop shopper.
You are so right.
Yeah, because I'm picturing a Lake Forest mom.
I am not.
Who's just likes to relax in the afternoon or something. And I think you're picturing
somebody walking in going, hey, have you got any gateway drugs, man?
Right. I have a completely different picture.
I want to sit on a bench by the school and talk to kids, man.
So I think that'd tell us a lot about each other if we knew.
Okay, so you're 24/7, 7 days a week. You want illuminated signs right next to the school? Evidently.
Well, it helps pay for the schools, doesn't it?
Can they sell snacks? Can they have big trays of brownies at these pot shops? I ask that because I know in some states where alcohol sales is more regulated than here. Here, cafeterias have it. But in some states, you can't sell snack foods where alcohol is sold. You can only go and buy the liquor. And then if you want to buy Doritos, there'll be another store adjacent to that, and you'll walk right in and buy your peanuts. But you can't get that in the liquor store. It's because you can do whatever you want if you're a state. So Chicago's saying, okay, what are we going to do here? And I'm asking you how that should be regulated. My number is 312-981-7200. Any thoughts about that? They're asking tonight, and I'm asking you right now. 312-981-7200, call or text. In the 2 o'clock hour, we'll talk about the 6 words that set the world in motion from the general manager of the Houston Rockets. It's interesting that it's the Houston Rockets. It's critical that it's the Houston Rockets. We'll talk about this in the 2 o'clock hour, but remember, the Houston Rockets had Yao Ming. Yao Ming was 23 feet tall. He's from China. He played in the NBA, and now he is China's favorite NBA basketball player, and he played in the NBA for Houston. Now, the manager of the Houston Rockets puts out a 6-word tweet saying, stand with Hong Kong, over the civil rights issues that they're having over there, and they're having all of those protests. I don't know what motivated him to do that. But clearly he didn't run it by his boss, the owner of the team, or the league commissioner. So he said, let's stand with the people that are fighting the good fight there in Hong Kong. And now, the NBA is in a very awkward position because 500 million people in China last year watched at least one NBA game. They're nuts for it over there, and the NBA's nuts for money. And I'm thinking that if China doesn't like that tweet by that manager, then the NBA...
I think it was general manager, right?
General manager. Yeah. I think, doesn't the NBA have enough money? Can't they take this punch?
No.
Can't they just say, hey, you know what? We've all got $1 zillion. $2 zillion would be even better, but I guess we won't do that. We are going to throw down hard on the side of free speech.
It is interesting that a guy standing up for democracy or making a pro-democracy tweet, let's call them freedom fighters, and we're so in bed with China that he's suffering for it.
How about that? So we'll talk about that in the 2 o'clock hour. Incidentally, South Park, Trey Parker and Matt Stone, they have taken on the censorship in China issue in the past. And in fact, they're going to talk about it in their next episode. China has now pulled down all videos and chat rooms that talk about South Park. South Park's internationally popular, I guess. People in China know it and like it. Now you can't watch South Park in China. This is the way, I think everything China's doing to fix it is every reason that the NBA should stay with the general manager of the Houston Rockets and come down very hard on free speech and civil rights. But for some reason, it's complicated to them because a zillion isn't enough. They need $2 zillion. So the South Park creators have put out a tweet now because now all their stuff's been pulled from China. So they have now tweeted the following. Like the NBA, we welcome the Chinese censors into our homes and into our hearts. We too love money more than freedom and democracy. Xi doesn't look just like Winnie the Pooh at all. By the way, they've pulled down references to Winnie the Pooh because critics of Chairman Xi, President Xi, say that he looks like Winnie the Pooh. And there's a lot of cartoons and memes out there. Where next time you see him standing there with President Trump or wherever he's standing, tell yourself that he doesn't look like Winnie the Pooh. Anyway, they continue, Xi doesn't look like Winnie the Pooh at all. Tune into our 300th episode this Wednesday at 10. Long live the great Communist Party of China. May this autumn's sorghum harvest be bountiful. We good now, China? Close quotes. That's the South Park tweet. Let's pick up some phone lines now. Steve, you're on WGN. How are you, Steve? Thanks for calling.
How are you doing, John? My thing is, what if they monitored how much pot marijuana you could get in any given period?
Oh, yeah, quantity. Quantity.
It's hard to, like, for, you know, drink and drive, and they can test alcohol level. I think it's easier than pot level, isn't it? I mean, I thought I heard that earlier or somewhere.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's harder to tell if you're high than it is to tell if you're drunk out of your skull.
Maybe so. I've never been high, but I understand there are different sensations.
But I think maybe if they limited how much someone could get in a certain amount of time, you know, kind of like when you go and get some medicines you can only get so much at a time.
Well, but if you're buying recreational marijuana, you are buying it for the express purpose of getting high. It's funny because when I drink alcohol, I try not to get drunk. But I think if you buy marijuana, you're not trying to cure you're not trying to get over cataracts.
Well,
here.
You're trying
to get high.
Let me challenge you then. We talked on the business lunch about a new company. I can't think of the name of it now, but they make non-alcoholic gin, vodka, and I think whiskey.
It will go nowhere.
Okay, but if you don't really care about getting drunk or having an impact of it, why wouldn't you use that instead? Because we probably do like a little bit of the deadening.
Oh, you do
of
like
a martini.
The buzz.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Well, then that's what people who smoke marijuana like too.
So I'm not arguing that point. I'm being maybe a little critical of it.
Well, okay.
But I shouldn't be. But you're right. Hypocrisy noted. I don't know. What is your point here, Steve? Because I don't see
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to derail you.
I just think that because, I mean, if you're getting too much and you're smoking, I mean, it's just a way to regulate how much you're going to smoke. And are you going to go drive? Are you going to drive?
Yeah.
Are you going to do that?
I think the only reason they would limit the amount that you would purchase is to keep you from opening up your own illegitimate retail shop or, you know, selling it out of your basement. So
right.
So maybe they're going to do it that way. Steve, thank you for the phone call. You make some interesting points. Anybody that drinks alcohol is not doing so for the flavor, unless you're an alcoholic or a person who likes those non-alcoholic beers. But that's not a big part of the market, right? Mostly you're drinking it for the flavor and the sting that alcohol gives you. So if you're going to buy marijuana, you're absolutely buying it to get high, right? Again, not been there, but I'm thinking that's why you're buying this stuff.
Sure, but isn't that why you buy gin?
No. Well,
see, that's where I don't agree with you. Why is it different?
Well, I guess it's a matter of degree. I mean, 0.08 is my definition of too much alcohol.
Okay.
And what is the equivalent of that?
Just a little mellow. I mean, you're assuming with your in your head pot shop shopper that they're going to smoke their brains to oblivion every time they do it. Maybe they're just going to have a little bit to take the edge off, like people would have a gin martini to take the edge off.
Yeah, okay. You may be onto something there, Mr. Bertrand.
Well, I think I am.
All right, well, then in that case, we'll stop and take more phone calls. Lots of calls and texts about the regulations over selling marijuana in Chicago starting January 1st. John, I love you, but step outside your box. Go to Colorado, Washington, Oregon, California. See what these shops are like for yourself. Hey, John says, 630, I just got back from Prague. You can go into little stores and buy your snacks and your wine and your pot all in one place. 224, pot rules should be just like bar rules. And 269 says, John, you make a fool of yourself and sound completely uneducated about marijuana. Please educate yourself before discussing this topic, for God's sake. Stop trying to imitate a person who smokes marijuana. It's absolutely ridiculous. Yeah, I got to stop that. You watch too many movies. No, I don't. Smoke it once, and then let's talk. Have them open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. What should the rules and regs be? Jerry, you're on WGN. Hi.
Yeah, how you doing, John? We're the same age, and like you just read them texts, you're kind of misinformed of what this is all about.
Yeah.
I went to Las Vegas last week, and I went to see one of these shops just to see what it's about. And you walk into a nice office, there's a dozen people sitting there, guys in suits, girls all dressed up real nice, no burnouts or nothing there. And a guy takes your license, says, give me a minute. He opens the
wait,
door.
Wait. We're talking about marijuana shopping, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, sir.
Sounds like you went to a ranch in Vegas. Go ahead.
No. I've been to several of them just to see what's going on. It was better than the doctor's office. And then you go through the door. Your liaison picks you up, takes you, and says, what are you looking for? And I say, I don't know. He walks me over to a wall. Each individual person has their own wall, has pictures of stuff, the pills, the gummies, the joints, everything. And he says, what is your problem? What do you have? Muscles? You just want to get high? Do you want this? And he'll prescribe stuff to you, and he'll tell you, take this much, take that much, don't take a lot of this. And it's very interesting. It's very well run.
And I'm glad you called, man. Thanks for listening, and thanks for helping me out, Jerry. That was the most unusual hang-up sound I've ever heard. A buddy of mine, one of my best friends in the world, his son is, I'll say, bud tender. I don't know what they call him. But he does what this caller, Jerry, just described in Colorado. His parents have told me what it's like. They've seen him in action. But you'll walk in, he'll say, what is your deal? Are you looking to take the edge off? Do you need your muscles to relax? Do you have trouble unwinding? Do you want to get high? And then here's the products we have. And he really sort of guides you through the process, the way maybe a wine expert would at Binney's. What are you having with it? Stuff like that. But I'm not saying that it should be carte blanche, and I don't know that you are either. Maybe you are. Maybe 24/7, and there's no regulations about where they put them or when they're in operation or what they can sell, you know, within the guise of recreational marijuana.
See, I think they would be better off, and I don't know anything about it, so it's ignorant, but to put them in prominent places and make them high-end looking stores,
right,
rather than, you know, behind the bottles and cans bars on Damon Avenue.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah. So right here on Michigan Avenue would be good. It would be expensive. Therefore, they'd have to have...
It'd be a boutique.
They'd have to have enough money to actually do it right.
Right.
And by right, I mean not what I mean. Not what I was describing earlier. Yeah, yeah. Well, we'll see how that goes. The hearings will start tonight. And we'll get somebody on from the commission that is hearing from everybody this week. John, I know people who smoke weed for anxiety or pain or to sleep, says 847-630. Regardless of what you smoke it for, we still don't know how much before it impairs your driving. 773 texted, I take one or two puffs at the end of the week to make my jaw unclench. Barely feel a buzz, but I definitely relax. Well, that flies in the face of my, you smoke to get stoned, and you do, Steve. Yeah, I like I said, I haven't been there. 815, I'm on Team Steve. One or two tokes, and I'm good for the evening. After the
technically, I'm not wearing the jersey here, just so you know.
Sounds like you're the captain of the team, Steve. You are the, never mind. After the news, Phil Rosenthal, who writes about TV and the business of it, sometimes sports on TV for the Tribune, talks to us about what your Cubs TV experience will be next year.
Let's put the cheese on the cracker here.
There's a lot of dark clouds that are coming our way in the near future here.
Oh, I mean, this is, I'm telling you, this one's going to reek. And you got 2 weeks for this to be rubbed in.
And Nagy, You better get your act together.
Nagy was calling plays like Neville Chamberlain in the first half. In the second half, he came out acting more like Thatcher.
His trick plays and his psychological things and all whatever he does.
They all think they're so great. And I'm telling you what, Anthony Miller, you... telling you is this. This team, I'd like to buy them for what they're worth and sell them for what they think they're worth.
We got totally outcoached and totally outplayed today.
Where is the greatest defense? You know, I heard Dick is spouting off this week. Oh, yeah, this is one of the greatest defenses ever. Maybe better than... Where's $141 million Khalil Mack? He's on the sidelines breathing hard. What is it, 50 degrees in London?
What are you thinking on 4th and 6? Why are you rushing?
What are you even rushing, somebody trying like to block the punter?
Nobody
whatever.
Else was doing it. I think what? This guy's an idiot.
The only
just
thing
doing
that you had to worry about was protect the fake punt.
And I got to say it. You know, everybody wants to go, oh, Urlacher, blah, 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 blah. Urlacher should have been a man and thrown Cutler around in the locker room and said, hey, stop all the idiocy. Act like a man. Be a man. Go out there and play the game. And don't act like it's all about you, punk. And if he would have, maybe he would have straightened Cutler out. Nobody else ever did. God, you better believe you. We would have done that. We would have done that.
Where's the Tylenol?
Played part of that for you yesterday on the heels of the Bears' loss in England. Still trying to figure out the Neville Chamberlain, Margaret Thatcher thing. And Jay Cutler somewhere scratching his head as well, I'm sure. I'm almost certain wasn't in the game. It's 140 on WGN. This is John Williams. Thanks for tuning in. We're here weekdays on this show from 1 to 3. Speaking of sports, the big question for a lot of people this summer, and now fall, and come February, is going to be, what's the deal with watching the Cubs on TV? If you want to watch them, I think the scariest scenario is what happened in Los Angeles. We had a sports reporter, I don't know if you had this, heard this conversation, but we had a guy on from Los Angeles who covers the Dodgers and cannot watch the Dodgers on local TV. And I said, well, that's just because you didn't pick. He said, no, it's not available in my market. I live in Los Angeles, and vast swaths of Southern California can literally not get it on their television because of the deal that the Dodgers cut. And the providers don't want to actually pass that expense along. And they said, skip it. We won't even do it. He can't watch Dodgers games. And is there any chance something like that would happen in Chicago? That's the worst case scenario. Phil Rosenthal writes about this business in the Chicago Tribune. And he joins us on WGN Radio. Hi, Phil. Welcome back to the show. How have you been?
I've been all right. I love that pastiche you just ran, that audio montage. It was like... post-game programming from David Mamet. It was fantastic.
I was thinking more This American Life, but either way, it works.
It was like a football Glengarry Glenn Ross.
Yes, exactly.
Phil, you know? I know the lead in your column was about, will I specifically have to subscribe specifically to Marquee? But before we do that, just answer my question about the Dodgers scenario. How likely is it that we'll find ourselves in a situation like they have in Los Angeles?
I don't think it's likely, because I think they've learned from Los Angeles. In Los Angeles, they painted themselves into a corner. They promised the company that was going to do the channel, promised the Dodgers a payout. They are paying the Dodgers that money. To cover that expense, you have to offer the channel at a certain price. If you don't offer a certain price, well, then you don't make, you know, you don't make the money. And they already, with their own system, agreed to pay for the channel. So the price then is set, and they can't, if they lower it, they lower it for everybody, and they ensure that there's this gaping hole. So they made it so they can't afford these other carriers, these other cable companies and satellite companies that said, we're not going to hit that price. And so there's been a standoff, and it's gone on for years at this point. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
But again,
I think, so far. I mean, it's a 25-year arrangement. It's going to go, I think, 25 years. And the fans are just getting used to not seeing the Dodgers. It's weird. It's stupid, but that's, again, I think the Cubs have learned something from that. The Cubs and Sinclair Broadcast Group, their partner in this. And so I don't think you're going to see the same kind of, holes in the coverage, but Is your system going to carry it? I don't know. We don't know because they haven't closed those deals yet. I don't know where they are even in the negotiation of those deals. So there are questions that are out there. I just don't think it will be as bad as Los Angeles, because as I say, Los Angeles is just a black eye on the sport.
And so we'll leave Los Angeles, but just to make sure I understand what happened there. In other words, if I had Comcast in L.A., Comcast essentially is saying that the rights that we would have to pay for the Dodgers games are so expensive, we're going to have to mark up everybody's price. We'll lose subscribers. People will just drop Comcast as a result, so we're not going to carry it. If you're a Comcast customer, say, in L.A., you don't even have the option because they just don't think they can make the money, right?
Right, and it's not just that everybody's going to pay and they're going to have to raise the price, because I think we're naive if we don't think. I mean, the Cubs will tell you, well, they don't necessarily have to raise the price based on adding our channel, but it seems like companies tend to raise prices when they have an opportunity to raise prices. They want to keep a lid on it as much as possible, but they don't want to see their profit margin threatened.
Right,
and so it's unlikely there'd be no increase here. But the cost in L.A. would be, it's been deemed by every other carrier in the community as prohibitively high.
So here in Chicago, who are the players? What's the difference between Marquee and this Cubs Sinclair thing?
Well, the Cubs Sinclair thing is Marquee. The Cubs and Sinclair are going to operate, sell, produce profit from Marquee. There'll be a division of labor. You know, the television stuff is going to come from Sinclair. They're going to cut the deals with the local cable companies, with DirecTV, with, you know, if they can, and produce television, because they're a television company. The Cubs' contribution to this will be the rights, and they will be a profit participant when the ads are sold, when the distribution deals are reached. So it's a partnership that way. Kind of like, I mean, look, for 15 years, they were a partner with the White Sox, with the Bulls, with the Blackhawks, and Comcast in what's now NBC Sports Chicago.
Right.
That goes on now without the Cubs, and they've had to cut all new deals with that, and there are holes in their coverage right now because of that. But they've managed to get the big three cable companies, which are in the community, which are Comcast, RCN, and WOW, as well as deals with some of the smaller and mid-sized carriers in their market, and a short-term deal until they can figure out the exact deal for DirecTV, so it's on DirecTV. Dish, for example, does not have a deal with NBC Sports Chicago. So what's going to happen is Marquee, which is, again, this partnership from the Cubs and Sinclair, will go out and try to cut similar deals for their channel.
Yeah. So this fear that Cubs fans had last year, early this year, I guess, that I'm going to have to pay $10 or $12 more a month for my Cubs subscription, how grounded in reality is that?
Well, I don't know what the price is going to be. You don't know what the price is going to be. We don't. I mean, they haven't negotiated it yet, except with, as far as I know, there's one big deal with a company called Charter Communications, but they're not a huge player in this area. And we don't know the specifics of that deal. Whatever the price is will probably be folded into everybody's costs.
Right.
But it won't be. They're not going to. It's not going to be charged on an individual basis. If you're a Cub fan or not a Cub fan, it's much like ESPN or NBC Sports Chicago,
yeah,
or Fox News or MSNBC. It's going to be a channel that you're subsidizing with your monthly subscription. And although they may put it on a sports tier or something, you know, depending on your company and your plan, that will have you buy in, it will be bundled with other channels. So people who don't watch the channel are still going to wind up paying for it.
Right. Well, okay. So, but say I have Plan X now, and next year Plan X is also going to have the Cubs games on it. It'll be interesting to see if they charge me more for that plan.
I don't see how they can't.
Okay. And
I don't see how they can and won't. And I say that knowing that there every other channel is negotiates its deals along the way. We don't know the specifics of the NBC Sports Chicago deal, but if it's the same or higher than what it was with the Cubs, or even a little bit lower, we don't know. Whatever they add to have to pick up Marquee is going to get figured into the total costs of delivering content to subscribers.
Well, maybe I'm more used to this than I know, because I have NBC Sports Chicago on my cable. We watch that at my house, and that's is that the equivalent of what we're talking about here?
Absolutely, and in fact, you know, with these, if you're pulling, say, over-the-air broadcast television like WGN or Channel 5 or Channel 7, you're pulling those off of antenna and not using a cable system or a streaming service or a satellite service, then you're getting it free. If you're going through one of these services, you're paying a fee for that, too. That's figured into your bill because they work out carriage fee agreements. In fact, Dish TV had a standoff with Fox Corporation over a number of channels, including Channel 32 and Channel 50 locally, but also the Big Ten Network and Fox Sports 1 and some other channels. And they were blacked out for about 10 days.
Yeah.
They finally came because they couldn't settle on a carriage fee agreement, and they finally did a few hours before kickoff on Sunday. Otherwise, Dish subscribers would not have seen the Bears game.
I saw their ads about that saying, tell them to get it, otherwise you're not going to be able to see the game.
Yeah, you know, that's a fine idea. But, you know, the truth is I understand both sides of this. You do, too. The content providers want to get paid for their content, and they look at the revenue. This is part of their revenue projections, is we're going to get carriage fees for this stuff, and we add value to the systems that carry it, okay? If you can't get those channels, then you're not getting the same value you thought you did when you subscribed. On the other hand, if you're one of these services, you're saying, well, I can't raise my price too much, or I'm already losing people who are cord cutting or looking at other ways of picking up the programming. I need to put I can't raise it too much. I got to keep it down to some extent. So there's this tension. But my personal view, and I think this is a view a lot of people have, is that if I go to you for a certain kind of content and you can't deliver that content for whatever reason, whether it's a principal stand against raising rates or whatever, I'm going to go elsewhere because I want the content. Ultimately, I come to you for the content. I want the content. So that becomes an issue.
I think a lot of people who are, this is a Cubs town, and people were very upset with the Cubs for a number of reasons, not all of them broadcast at the beginning of this season. And then this news breaks as well, and they said, that's it. I'm not paying another nickel for it. But even after the heartbreaking loss of the last 2 weeks this season, don't you think Cubs fans are, whatever it takes, going to subscribe to a system, and they're going to have that as their basic or their second step package, and they're going to pay for it?
I do think that, and I think that's what the Cubs and Sinclair are counting on.
And
I think it's not that they're going to, maybe they'll be upset and not want to watch as many games or watch the games as long. But the idea that they would be completely cut off from television of it, except for the games that are picked up by ESPN and by Fox,
right,
the national
right.
and regional telecast.
Yeah.
I think that's a bridge too far for them.
But, Phil, is it possible, though, that if, for whatever reason, I don't want to pay for Marquee Sports, will these providers offer me a package that doesn't have it? Like, I don't want Cubs baseball. I don't want to subsidize that. Will that be an option
for me? Yeah, but you're probably not going to get NBC Sports Chicago or ESPN. You know, there are a lot of channels you may get the skinniest bundle, as they like to say, which is a stripped-down, pared-down whatever. May not have it. It may, but it may not. If it doesn't, then you have that opportunity. But at the same time, you may lose a lot of channels you really do want, and you're not so ambivalent about.
What about,
and if that's the case, then they gotcha.
What about people who don't subscribe at all, but they're just watching it over the antenna?
No, they're in a bad place.
They don't have
the only
they
games
won't get
that are going to be over the air are going to be the ones on Fox.
312-981-7200. Just a couple more minutes with Phil Rosenthal, columnist for the Chicago Tribune. This will start in February, Phil. Is that when the network?
Yeah, they're talking about having a certain time for the. They're going to do all the spring training games, so that would put them starting in February in time for that. that's the projection right now. I mean, again, until somebody flips a switch, who knows? But that's what they've been saying.
And again, I heard everything you said, but I just remember, I have it in my head for some reason, Phil, that somewhere between $5 and $10 or $6 and $12 was the amount that the increase would be. It's maybe impossible to compare these new channels and bundles with the old ones, but out of pocket at the end of the day, they're not going to take it on the chin. We're all going to have to pay somewhere close to $10 more a month, right?
It's everybody's estimating. I've seen that estimate. I think I've repeated that estimate, sourcing it, of course, but I don't know personally what it would be. And I, because again, the deals aren't cut yet. When the deals are cut, we'll have a better idea. If they go for, if it becomes a $6 addition, then the increase will be lower. But again, they're probably not the only channel getting an increase in this time frame.
Right.
And they'll dump a lot of those things into it. So yeah, that's kind of where things are.
So they'll say, well, it wasn't just the Cubs. It's this whole new package. Look what we've got. La, da, 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 da.
Well, you know what, though? They may also say it's the Cubs and shield the other channels from that.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if this would ever be to everybody's advantage, but a lot of us long for the 100% a la carte menu day where we can just pick what we want, and we think that will cost us less.
You think that, but you know what? If a channel like, let's say, ESPN, which collects money from almost everybody, okay, whether they have any interest in sports or no sports, in order for Disney, the parent of ESPN, to collect as much money as they get through the bundling, the price on ESPN isn't the same. It goes way up. And if you start taking a la carte channels, the price on those a la carte channels will be expensive. And I think, so my own theory on this, and you may be, I don't know how disciplined you are about what you want to watch, but that they'll get you. One way or another, they'll get you.
Yeah. I got a minute and a half left. Stanley, you had a question for Phil Rosenthal. What is it? You're on WGN.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Good.
I'm an over-the-air watcher. I don't have cable. I cut cable a long time ago. Are they going to have an app that you can purchase, like for your phone, so you can watch it? Or are you going to be able to watch it through MLB.com?
That's a real good question. Do you know, Phil?
If you live outside the Cubs designated market, which is not just the Chicago TV market, it's an area that goes into eastern Iowa, southern Wisconsin in some spots, western Indiana. If you get it outside of that area, yeah, you can probably watch Cub games there on MLB.com. You can buy a service. It's expensive, though. That in itself is not cheap. As for getting an app or something, it will, in all likelihood, as NBC Sports Chicago is, be available through streaming services. But again, who do you go to get the broadband so that you can get enough data so you can stream the game? Usually it's a cable company. So again, they're going to get you one way or the other.
Phil Rosenthal's piece is in the Tribune. You can still look it up online. Your Cubs Marquee Sports Network questions answered in the Tribune online still. I'm out of time, but it's always good to hear your voice. Do join us again sometime soon, Phil.
Anytime. Just ask.
He's the expert on a lot of those things in that part of the world.
Thinking big thoughts so you don't have to.
My brain hurts.
Here's John Williams.
But I'm doing this for you, you know. This business about are you going to have to pay extra to watch the Cubs next year kind of gets your head spinning, doesn't it?
Lord have mercy.
Somebody said a moment ago, I'm 50 years old. I've been watching the Cubs since I was a kid, and I'm not paying extra to watch the Cubs on TV. And I think that means you're just not going to watch TV then, right? Because if it's part of the basic package, if the marquee channel is part of your basic cable package, then you're either going to watch TV or you're not. And if you're going to watch TV, you're paying for it. Now, maybe it's the first step or the second step up, right? And then you say, all right, well, then I just won't get the premium or the premium plus two service. But as Phil said, then you're probably going to miss a lot of stuff. The basic package, the quote-unquote skinny package, doesn't have a lot. And then if you say, and then if you, you know, you're participating in society and everybody's talking about the new episode of a series or a show, you might want to have that next series of channels, and there's Marquee again. So it's not going to be easy to miss if you want to watch a lot of the television that you may be watching now. And my idea, I know that this is flawed, but I would just like to see the numbers on it, is that everything is a la carte. Everything is a la carte. ESPN, that's $3. CNN, that's $2.50. And just go down the line. And I won't pay for the Golf Channel or the Cooking Channel.
Let me just tell you this, John. They will never come up with a system where you pay less. Okay? It doesn't matter.
There is one system, and it's John doesn't watch TV.
Right.
John and Brenda don't have cable. Once upon a time...
Just choosing one channel would be $150 a month, and then that goes down as you choose more.
But if you get two, the leech would be $75.
Exactly.
And if you get four, and the next thing you know, that's the thing, Steve.
So you only pick the channels you want to watch.
Once upon a time, and it was not that long ago, it is amazing how quickly this has happened. I mean, you know, since the evolution of clean municipal water, you were able to watch all television for free. All TV was free. NBC, CBS, ABC, public television, was all free.
Yeah, those four channels.
In a market like ours, there was maybe 10. You had W, you had the UHF channels, and there was some.
We had 32, 26.
50, 44. You had 44. The White Sox were on 44 for a while.
Right.
Et cetera, et cetera. And you'd fine tune them in. It was bizarre, right? It's just hard to believe that that was part of my lifetime.
So really, though, you wonder if, and I don't think this will happen. Well, maybe it will. The Cubs benefited because it was hard to find the White Sox on TV for a while. And it was very easy to find the Cubs.
Yeah, true.
Now, if it's going to be easier to find the White Sox and harder to find the Cubs, I wonder if the White Sox will benefit. I bet they will benefit from that in one way or another.
How will it be harder to find the Cubs?
Well, I mean, people aren't going to, if they're not going to pay to watch, they pay that extra to watch the Cubs.
Yeah, well, if they have that option, if it's an easy option to exercise, maybe some people will. But I think this is a lot of principle and not a lot of footwork. That's a new saying I just made up. And here's what I mean.
I think it applies perfectly. Would you explain it, please?
People are outraged, but at the end of the day, they're still going to march to the Cubs tune.
And put in my home's terms, Sharon, I'm going to write a letter about this.
Yeah, I'm going to write a letter. I'm calling the manager of that station.
I haven't actually written a letter in 20 years.
I don't think my children would know how that works. You put a stamp in the corner, and then a man will deliver that to the door of a person.
Do you remember when we used to get mail delivery twice a day?
No.
Yeah, there was a morning delivery and afternoon.
Seriously?
Yep.
Wow. Getting back to 2019 now, speaking of sports, where are we on the NBA Houston Rockets Nation of China thing? There's a general manager for the basketball team, the Houston Rockets, and he tweeted the following: fight for freedom, stand with Hong Kong. If you've been following the news, you know that in Hong Kong they're having riots. There's a lot of unrest. It's over extradition and human rights issues between Hong Kong, which is quasi-autonomous, and China. And the idea would be that if you commit a crime in Hong Kong, they would extradite you to China, and you don't like your chances there.
They still send people to what they call education camps.
It's amazing how repressive, in this modern day and age, a country like China is able to be. And they are. They are no friend to democracy. And I don't know if they're a friend of ours, but they're a global behemoth, so we got to learn to dance with them. And the NBA especially. 500 million people, 500 million people, watched an NBA game in China last year. And one of their greatest exports of all time was Yao Ming, who went on to play for and work for the Houston Rockets. So now, when this manager, general manager for the Houston Rockets, tweets out, fight for freedom, stand with Hong Kong, China said, excuse me? And now they've said they will not carry the Houston Rockets games.
Well, they did a lot more than just say, excuse me, right? They instantly stopped like preseason games, and it had an immediate impact.
The NBA is doing a tour in Asia right now. And in fact, the NBA games that are being... So then they fly these NBA teams and the equipment managers and talcum powder. I don't know what they put in the airplane, but they fly the whole thing out to China, and they're going to play in China, and they won't show it on China television now, just to teach the NBA a lesson. And so what does the NBA say? They say, well, we think that a person should be able to do that, but we don't want to do anything to end our wonderful relationship with the wonderful people of China, because China's wonderful. And I'm one of those people that joins at least three senators, Marco Rubio and a couple others. And they said, you know what? China is no friend to democracy. China is not a champion of freedom. And we ought to be able to stand up to these people over a tweet as simple as this. It's funny that if a basketball guy tweets, fight for freedom, stand with Hong Kong, the presses stop over there. If the president of the United States says something about China, it seems like they can still negotiate back and forth. I wish the NBA would have said right away, we stand with this general manager of the Houston Rockets, even though we kind of wish he had. Why did he bring it up? That was my first reaction. Why did you even bring this up? Dude, why did you go there? Maybe he's a principled individual, and for some reason it's near and dear to his heart.
You didn't think he'd ever have to defend standing up for democracy?
Right. And so that's the thing. To me, this will cost the NBA money. But I think since their principal market is the United States, they don't look bad for waving goodbye to the money and the deals and saying, we stand for democracy. We stand for free speech. The guy did not say anything hard to
defend. We stand for free speech, and you stand for the anthem.
Another point that a few of our texters have pointed out. Protests have gripped Hong Kong since June, leading to clashes between protesters and police, initially about a policy to allow extradition from Hong Kong to mainland China, increasingly about other civil liberties in the semi-autonomous territory. So this guy just simply says, fight for freedom, stand with Hong Kong, send. It's another reason why my app, which for some reason doesn't exist yet, would be a good idea. If I was the owner of an NBA team or a radio station, anybody who has employees that are high profile, a major American corporation, I would have all my executives have the app. It'd be part of their thing. Here's your company phone. You have to have the app on it. When you hit send, it doesn't go. When you hit send, it goes to one other layer. We have an editor of all of our corporate employees' tweets, and it has to go through them. And then they'll say, hey, Bob, did you see what Joe over here just tweeted? Before that goes out to the universe, let's talk about that. Maybe we would all agree that that one should have gone, but just the moment's pause that would create would have eliminated this problem for the NBA and the Houston Rockets. And maybe it's not a problem. Maybe this is a good fight to fight. Maybe we should welcome this argument. The NBA said it was regrettable that the deleted tweet offended many in China. They brought the tweet down. The guy tweeted an image that read, fight for freedom, stand with Hong Kong, referring to the four-month-old protest over there. That led Houston owner Tillman Fertitta, F-E-R-T-I-T-T-A. Not sure how you pronounce that. Don't know if I want to explore it. Says that led the Houston owner himself to turn to Twitter to say that the general manager does not speak for the Rockets. He said, I do. And so then the general manager went, oh, crap. So then he tweeted out, I did not intend my tweet to cause any offense to Rockets fans and friends of mine in China. I was merely voicing one thought based on one interpretation of one complicated teensy-weensy event. I threw in teensy-weensy. I have had a lot of opportunities since that tweet to hear and consider other perspectives. One perspective being, I don't have a job. NBA Chief Communications Officer Mike Bass said the league recognizes that Maurice, that's the general manager's tweet, deeply offended many of our friends and fans in China, which is regrettable. That's such an interesting sentence to me because I want to know what's regrettable. Is it regrettable that they were offended or is it regrettable that he said it? I'll repeat that sentence. NBA Chief Communications Officer Mike Bass said the league recognizes that Maurice's tweet, quote, deeply offended many of our friends and fans in China, which is regrettable. Now, how do you hear that? Is it regrettable that he said it, or is it regrettable that it offended them? Because if it offended them, I think that's 100% their problem. And if the NBA loses a zillion dollars as a result of China no longer having a good partnership with the league, they'll still have a zillion dollars.
Well, the whole thing is about democracy, right? Because if it was about anything else, or just about anything else, it is a business partner. You don't want to offend them. You are cultivating their partnership, right?
They weren't saying...
But you can't back... I mean, this is supposed to be one of our fundamental values. I don't think you can back down on that.
Well, don't you think that the NBA's pussyfooted around this quite a bit? Pussyfoot, another expression that I just introduced to the conversation.
Well, I mean, what would you have them say? I thought they were standing behind the GM a little bit.
I think today the league commissioner spoke a little more specifically about it. He stood behind the general manager of the Rockets more, but not initially. What does this sound like to you? We are deeply offended. We recognize that the tweet deeply offended many of our friends and fans in China, which is regrettable. I don't think there's anything regrettable about it, unless you're a person that likes oppressing people in China. I don't think there's anything regrettable about this tweet. It's too bad they can't take it. I would be a terrible spokesperson for the NBA.
Yeah, but I'd still like to see it.
By the way, China has teams in the United States right now, and then the Lakers and the Rockets, the Brooklyn Nets. There's several teams, I guess an even number of teams playing in China and Japan to promote the league over there. Boy, the timing on this is bad. We apologize, said James Harden of the Houston Rockets, one of the greatest players ever to play the game. Harden said this, you know, we love China. We love playing here.
See, that's the whole thing.
For both of us individually, he's talking about him and one of the other players. I'll find his name. We go there once or twice. You know who it is? It's the shooting guard for the Golden State Warriors.
Stephon?
Yes, you've heard of him, Steph Curry?
Yeah.
We go there once or twice a year, he said. They show us the most important love. There's an interesting sentence.
He's speaking in their dialect, in their translation.
We appreciate them as a fan base. We love everything there about them, and we appreciate the support that they give us individually and as an organization. Here's the last thing I'll read to you. This is from China. China says the Rockets, largely because of Yao Ming, have an enormous Chinese following. After the tweet, even the Chinese government's consulate office in Houston issued a statement, and it said, we express strong dissatisfaction. We have lodged representations and expressed strong dissatisfaction with the Houston Rockets and urged the latter to correct the error and take immediate concrete measures to eliminate all adverse impact.
There's spokespeak right there. What did that say?
I don't know what that means.
So, but you know, the other thing about this, the problem for the NBA is it's not just the Chinese government. The Chinese government's stranglehold on information is such that mainland China really thinks these Hong Kong protesters are terrorists. So, you know, when they read that the GM of the Houston Rockets is supporting this group and they see this group as terrorists and outlaws, you know, that is a problem for the NBA. But that's because mainland China lies to its people.
Well, I guess this argument doesn't have to happen, but the guy, but there it is. The guy tweeted six words, so we're having the conversation, and it looks like you got to pick a side. And I don't think you can have a foot in each camp. And that's, to me, what the NBA is trying to do, because money is more important to them. We have lodged representations, Steve, and expressed strong dissatisfaction. I'm going to start to use that. I'm going to lodge a representation and express strong dissatisfaction and urge the latter to correct the error, right? So how do they fix that?
Well, correct if the GM error. Had been tweeting like that, no one would have known what he was saying anyway. We'd be fine.
He should have used that kind of language. It's 2:22. This is WGN.
I can't even think with the Chinese government censoring everything I write. I mean, we live in a time where the only movies that us American kids go see are ones that are approved by China.
Yeah,
it's like China is the new MPAA.
That from South Park, because South Park's video has been pulled from the websites and TV in China. Chat rooms that discuss it have since been closed down because they've been critical of Chinese censorship. In fact, they are censoring episodes that talked about Chinese censorship in China, which I find a little ironic. Elif, do we have a winner? And that's on line one. Okay, let's talk to Richard on the South Side. You're on WGN. Hi, Richard. How are you?
Hi, John. How are you? Hello, Steve. Hello, Elif.
Thanks for listening to our little radio station here. You heard me chatting with Bill and Wendy earlier?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and I said Roosevelt said something famous that was borrowed by a disc jockey. Who's the disc jockey?
The disc jockey is Casey Kasem for America's Top 40.
Do you remember what he said?
Keep your feet on the ground. Keep reaching for the stars.
How about that? I saw that the other day, and I thought, Roosevelt's? I thought that was pure Casey Kasem. But evidently Roosevelt said that first.
I forget the book, but I had the book about 20 years ago, about 30 years ago when I was in college, of sayings that are common that came from hundreds of years ago. And it was filled mostly with things that Ben Franklin said and Thomas Jefferson and Teddy Roosevelt. So that was actually one of them. And interspersed in the book were Roosevelt was considered the policeman to the world. There's a great drawing of him as a Keystone cop standing on top of a globe. So I actually knew that when you had mentioned it. I thought, oh, wow. Useless information. I have it. I know it.
Useless? Are you kidding me? It just paid off, sir. I'm going to make sure you talk to producer Elif, and we'll get you some tickets to see the show, okay?
Oh, that's awesome. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Hold the line. Keep your feet on the ground and reach for the stars.
Did Teddy do the long-distance dedication tour, or was that Casey's?
This one goes out to a person in Cuba. Steve Bertrand, it's 2:37. In the shadow. Haven't thought about this in a long time. Star is Born, right, Ella?
Yep, it's been a year, and this soundtrack of A Star is Born is still on the Billboard 200 for a whole year. It's been there.
So the 1 year anniversary as of today or yesterday?
Yesterday.
That was a pretty good scene, pretty good. A pretty good movie. Were you slayed by that movie, as I recall?
No, but what made me emotional was seeing her on the stage for the first couple times in the movie.
In the movie, yeah.
Yeah.
They did seem to have some chemistry, and Lord, she can sing. Bradley Cooper and Lady Gaga. It's 2:38 on WGN Radio. This is John Williams. By the way, Rokan, Anna DeVlantis, Lauren Lapka, Kevin Powell, I'll talk to and inform you in the next few hours after 3 o'clock. Kevin's going to do the sports. I just wanted to throw one sports note out as we move on. But at my house, we're kind of partial to the Minnesota Twins. They played the Yankees in the playoffs last night. There's a headline at deadspin.com. How is the Twins' playoff losing streak even possible? The Minnesota Twins have now lost 16 straight playoff games. They don't just lose series, they've lost every single playoff game they've played for the last 15 years. Good for them, they get in. But once they get into the playoffs, they get swept. They go 0-3, 0-3, 0-3. They've lost their 16 last playoff games in a row, 13 of them to the New York Yankees. You thought the Cubs were snake bit for years? That's one for the ages. In fact, no professional franchise in any sport in America has lost more consecutive playoff games than the Minnesota Twins. The next one is the Chicago Blackhawks back in the day. Enough about that now. Do you ever think about this? The Sterigenics plant that you hear commercials about all of the time on the radio, the spokespeople for that company you never hear on the radio because they don't come on. But there was this plant in the Chicago area, what was it, by Willowbrook, and it was sterilizing surgical equipment but using chemicals that evidently were causing great harm to people in the area. And so they're out of Dodge now. They're not going to be here anymore, but the residents in that area are still very angry. And as I understand it, there is a bill before the state legislature that will amend the Environmental Protection Act, and it will say that, if I get this right, local home rule townships will be able to say, we won't allow you to come into our community if you use that ethylene oxide. ethylene oxide. Rita Mayfield is a state representative, and she joins us now on WGN. Hi, Rita. It's John. You're on the air. How are you?
Hi, John. How are you?
Pretty good. That's my understanding of this, but you're one of the people behind it, so tell me what I need to know.
Okay, the bill, that bill is slightly different than my bill. That bill was put forward by Leader Durkin, and it does exactly what you said does. It gives the honest, puts it right back to the municipalities and says that the city board can vote to not allow that building or that manufacturing company into their community.
Right.
They can totally ban it and say you cannot use that chemical here.
How is
and
yours
I think
different?
It's a great bill.
How is yours different then?
My bill calls for a phase-out of ethylene oxide. My bill is House Bill 3888. I believe the other bill is 3885, the one that you referenced. But mine is 3888, and what it does, it phases out the use of ethylene oxide by 2021 and gives hospitals a slightly longer phase-out as well.
You know, we've, and you're right, it is 3885, that other one. So hospitals need to sterilize the equipment. Somebody's got to do it. And what hospitals want to allow businesses to continue to use ethylene oxide to sterilize their stuff? Is that the idea?
Well, the argument that we're getting from the manufacturers is that ethylene oxide is the only sterilization method that is available, and we know that to not be true. There are actually approximately 10 other alternative sterilization methods. Other hospitals have done this already. The most recent one was, I don't have it in front of me. I thought I did.
That's all right.
But it was a Swedish hospital that just got rid of theirs.
Well, but if
so
there are other ways.
It is being done already.
If there are other ways.
Swedish Covenant Hospital, I'm sorry.
Sure.
In 2014, they actually phased out the use of ethylene oxide. So they've been doing that since 2014, and they've been successful. So if they can successfully do this for 5 years and phase out the use of ethylene oxide, then the argument that ethylene oxide is the only sterilization method that hospitals, manufacturers, and other companies can use, we know is not true. We do know that it is the prevalent sterilization method that is out there, but that does not mean that we have to be married to it. And in fact, the U.S. EPA is calling, you know, for innovation and sterilization to protect human life, because we know that ethylene oxide is a human carcinogen.
Well, then
it is no. Yes.
Why? You know, why? But then why give them a couple of years? Yours is going to phase this in.
Well, mine, yes, it does. But part of what my bill says is that if you're in a densely populated area, which Medline and Waukegan is in a densely populated area, they would need to cease production immediately and move to an alternative method, which we know that they have done in other plants that they own.
I see.
Also, if you're next to a school or a daycare.
Let me ask you this. Well, that makes sense to me. So if you're in a densely populated area near those places, then let's not have those chemicals anywhere near anybody. But if this company, Sterigenics, say, you spoke about Medline, which is another company that uses that ethylene oxide. But
mm-hmm.
Where were the, you know, maybe they don't care. I don't, this has been a mystery to me. If this stuff is this injurious or dangerous, who are the employees and why was that company operating around here anyway? Should there have been some governmental oversight to keep them from polluting the air or harming people?
Well, that is the mission of the Illinois EPA, and surprisingly, or maybe unsurprisingly enough, we have all asked that same question. Why was the Illinois EPA not monitoring? They knew. They've known for years that this is a carcinogen. They've known that employees who work in these plants have a higher risk of cancer, you know, and lymphoma, and other, there's like a long list of byproducts that come from working in a plant that has these chemicals. So they've known this, but yet they have failed to protect human life. They have failed to protect the environment. They failed to protect communities. They failed to protect our children. We had a local community forum. Over 1,000 people in the area showed up against ethylene oxide and what's going on, and to voice their concern and to strongly stand together and say, we need to close down Medline. We need to do something now. We had a mother who was there representing other mothers whose children were all diagnosed with lymphoma. How many children need to be diagnosed? How many lives do we need to lose before this good corporate neighbor, as they like to keep telling us that they are, finally says, we're going to do something?
Boy, they never, you know, we reached out to them, I'll bet 10 times, and said, I'm sure that there's another side to the story. Just you, and this was when they were still operating. We said, tell us the story. Tell us what you're doing to safeguard the community. They would never come on. I think the next conversation I need to have then is with the Illinois EPA. But in the meantime, Rita Mayfield, 60th District in Waukegan, thanks for your time this afternoon. And we'll keep our listeners posted on the progress of your bill.
Thank you so much. Again, House Bill 3885, 3888. Witness slips in support of those bills are needed. We're over 2,000, but we want to keep going. And I just thank you for giving me the time.
Thank you, Rita Mayfield. Our guest is on the phone line, Michelle Franzen, ABC News correspondent in New York City. Michelle, it's John, and you're on WGN Radio in Chicago. How are you?
Hi, John. I'm doing well. How are you today?
Really good. I'm intrigued by this slug my producer gives me, what you should buy before the 15% levy on Chinese goods. Is that what you're looking into?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, with these tariffs that are going back and forth, and China and the U.S. are meeting again this week, but they're already tamping down expectations about them possibly being able to work out a framework. And that means we're getting closer to that December 15th deadline. Remember when the president moved that back from October, that those that round of tariffs, the next round, was supposed to go into effect, affecting pretty much all, you know, the bulk of the rest of the goods and services that are we rely on coming in from China. Yeah. And that includes like shoes, clothing, cell phones, electronics, baby essentials. Pretty much, Forbes came out with a list of seven things that you should buy before this December 15th deadline, but it kind of covers everything. I rattled off a few, but it really, they're saying buy these things now before the holidays. You might want to start your holiday shopping earlier as a result, and baby essentials like you know, high chairs and things like that that are produced in China, all of those things are slated to fall under that tariff hike come December 15th.
I remember that conversation back and forth between us and China, and the president saying to help the American consumers, I'd hate to have it be a bad Christmas, we'll delay the imposition of these tariffs. But I'm surprised to hear you say that would be before December 25th. You'd think, I don't know, January 1st or something like that, you know?
Well, he could still push it back, you know, to the new year. But until then, this is what, you know, some economists and analysts are recommending to do, especially some consumer groups. National Retail Federation already says it's probably going to be a more subdued or muted holiday season in terms of spending. They're estimating that it'll be down anywhere between 2 and 3%, so we'll see.
I just took off my shoes to see where they were made. They're made in China. These shoes are made in
China. Shoes are on the list. Yeah, clothing's on the list. If you think about, you know, the holidays, it's a big time to, you know, gift those cell phones, tech, the laptops, anything like that. But they're saying you might want to get, like, even just personal care products, get those household essentials, you know, the bulk items, that some of those things that come across and are due to be hiked up anywhere between 10 to 15% come December. But we're in a wait-and-see pattern. We're going to have to see how this goes. It seems that China and the U.S. are locked into this tit-for-tat, going back and forth. They're coming to the table, but they're not getting much accomplished each time.
The president has also famously said that the Americans won't pay for it. China will. I guess that's the question, right? Michelle, say we do impose a 15% tariff on all these items, and it's slated to go in effect December 15th. After that, will the companies absorb that, or will the consumers absorb that?
I think that will vary from company to company, and also how they've handled, maybe they purchased items ahead of time as well to prepare for a potential tariff hike. So they might have been thinking ahead. But at the same time, if they have all this inventory, they're going to want to move it as well, and they're going to want to get what they paid for it. I think that's the big question mark. Who will pay for this? Many economists say that it's hard to believe that it won't be passed on to the consumer in some way, fashion, or, you know. And if the company is absorbing it, then it's going to affect them too, American companies.
I don't know what a pair of shoes costs that I'm, in theory, I'm going to buy a pair of shoes. And I don't know what that pair of shoes costs. If tomorrow the shoe store hikes it up 15%, maybe they split the difference and they knock it up 8%, walking in, I'm not going to know the difference. I'm just going to say, I was going to spend $100 on shoes, now it's $108. Maybe I still buy the shoe, unaware of the fact that I've just personally absorbed that tariff. I mean, it might be hard for people to know.
You might on some items, but, you know, for many consumers that are buying those regular sort of weekly essentials, those monthly essentials, they're going to know the price on those, and they're going to know when they're getting a bargain and when they're not. So you're right. There are some things that we may not know that we're absorbing, but I think, you know, people are they're watching their budgets. They know what their monthly, you know, what they're spending on certain things, and they'll either curb their spending or they're going to, you know, think ahead or know what they're spending on, and we'll go from there.
Shoes, consumer electronics, baby items, including high chairs, clothing items. You said Forbes reported on this, and December 15th is the deadline.
It is of now. That could slide again because we had that October deadline sliding. But, you know, we're getting into that, close to that shopping season, right? A lot of people just blow right through Halloween and they start shopping now.
I know, but so. I think a lot of people also wait until right around panic time, the last 2 weeks. And so this December 15th headline or deadline is a headline for me. Very helpful information. Thank you, Michelle. Thanks for your time this afternoon.
Thank you. Good talking with you.
Likewise. Michelle Franzen, ABC News.